Well, I want to say this with all the conviction that is within me as a Baptist. You know, one of the things we say as Baptists is, once saved, always saved. Well, I just want to say this morning that once a father, always a father. You never get away from being a father once you have a child. You're always going to be a father. No matter what time of life you're in, you're always going to be a father. No matter how old your children grow to be, they may grow to be as old as you are. And you are still a father. Whether they're in diapers or they're toddlers, or whether they're in Little League or elementary school, or whether they're in middle school or high school or young adulthood, or parents themselves, whether they're drawing Social Security, or wherever they are in life, you are still their father. And as their father, you still have a spiritual responsibility to be a father to them. Now, being a father changes over time as your kids grow and as they mature and as they go into the different passages of their life. They change just like you changed as you grew into an adult and as you were married and had children yourself. As they have children themselves, your responsibilities as a father, your influences start to change a little bit. They become a little nuanced. But you're still a father. When I was in my 30s and 40s, it was my father who I went to for advice. Now, he didn't have to remind me to go to the bathroom when I needed to. But I'm grateful I had a father I could go to and ask about some things that I had never experienced before, but that he had, and he had gone through some things. And sometimes I learned because of his mistakes. Sometimes I learned in spite of his mistakes, but I always learned from my father. My father was always my father. And that's true of every father in this room. We never run out of being a father. Now, relationships change. And sometimes in the progress of those relationships, in the nuances of those relationships, sometimes they become strained. And sometimes there is resentment and tension that builds up. And sometimes there are apologies that have to be made. And sometimes there are reconciliations that have to take place. And all those things can happen. But what we need to understand is, once a father, always a father. Once a mother, always a mother. Once a son, always a son. Once a daughter, always a daughter. Fatherhood is a character-shaping journey. Fatherhood is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Fatherhood is not about perfection, but it's about humility and endurance. A process of God working on you to become the godly dad that He wants you to be. It is about allowing God to work through you on the journey of fatherhood, the process of how God sanctifies you and sets you aside and begins to help you to grow as a person and as a husband and as a father, as a godly dad. You plant seeds of faith in your children so they can come to know who they are in Christ. And a godly dad should know where they stand with Jesus and understand that the purpose of their relationship to Jesus is to teach their children about the kind of relationship they should have with Jesus. So, what are some of the characteristics of a godly dad? What are some of the things that we need to have in front of us as fathers, as guides, and as help us understand how we can be a godly dad, a godly father? I just want to share with you 7 characteristics of a godly father. Now, I'm not sharing these things to bring conviction on you, but if God convicts you of something, I can't help that. But I am saying these things because I know they're important to me. And I want you to know that as I talk about these characteristics, there are times when I look at these and I realize that I'm not doing a good enough job in those things. And I need God's help to be the kind of father that I need to be. First characteristic I want to bring to you is a very basic one. It's where it all starts. You really can't be a good father without this being true in your life, and that is the characteristics of a godly father is one who knows Christ personally and trusts in Him every day. You see, in Christ you are saved, redeemed, blessed, adopted, predestined, forgiven, and much more. This is where to start in your fatherhood journey. When you are lost and you're feeling under attack, or you're doubting whether you're any good at being a father or not, it comes to the point where you have to understand the first place to start in being a good father is being a good follower of Jesus Christ. And when we become a good follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord seems to put everything in its place. Sometimes we get frightened in fatherhood as we look at all the things around us and all the things that we feel like we need to know, all the things that we feel like we need to warn our children about, all the things that we feel like our children need guidance in. And then we look at the media and we look all around and we understand that the world is not the friendliest place for fathers or mothers or children or family. We need to understand that as parents, as fathers, we need to understand that we have to put on some armor to be able to survive in a spiritual world that is always throwing darts and spears at us spiritually and in our families. There are so many things that Satan wants to plant inside our families. As fathers, we have to be willing to put on the whole armor of God and to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have to be willing to understand that one of the basic responsibilities of a father is to be the armor bearer in the home. A lot of times we read that passage in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, where I'm going to read in just a minute, and we sort of apply that to children. Children really get all excited about wearing armor, about putting on the breastplate and all that kind of stuff. We've seen that. Children really love to do that. But what we need to understand as adults, and especially as fathers, is that we need to be conscientious ourselves in making sure that we're wearing the armor of God in our own hearts and lives to protect and to minister to our family and to make sure that our family is protected against what the world wants to bring in. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day." And certainly, that's characteristic of the day we live in today. It's an evil day. "And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, and righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. And in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which is the Word of God, and pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." You see, that's, you know, in a way, that's our fatherly job description. If we do not stand at the door of our homes, and if we do not stand armed, if we do not stand being alert and understanding what Satan can do to our families, then we are setting ducks. Just as Paul encouraged those believers in Ephesus to wear the armor of God, I want this morning to encourage each one of us as fathers this morning to put on the whole armor of Christ in regards to our family. And let's stand before Satan and just declare that he is not going to have our families. Someone has said that it's the person who wants your kids the most is the one that is going to get them. How much do you want your kids? How much are you willing to do to make sure your kids belong to the Lord? So, one godly characteristic, one characteristic of a godly dad is to trust and know Jesus Christ and allow Him to armor you for the battle, for the responsibility of being a father. Another characteristic is a godly dad will always lean on the Word of God. Where do you find your strength? I hope this morning that you find your strength in the presence of God in your life. I hope you find your strength in the fact that you placed your faith and trust in Jesus and He lives in your life and in your heart. But there is something about God's Word. There's something about spending time in reading God's Word and leaning on it to understand what's going on all around you that makes you strong, that helps you to see the world as it really is. Sometimes we feel like we have to have all the answers. I'm reminded of the father who wanted so conscientiously to be a good father. And he remembered how things were when he was a little boy. And every time he would ask his father or mother to explain something, they'd always say, well, you're too young or you wouldn't understand it or whatever. And he vowed that if he ever was to be a father, that when his son or daughter asked him a question about what was about their life, that he was going to give them not only the full answer, but the correct answer using all the proper vocabulary that needed to be used. He wasn't going to keep his kids in the dark. He was motivated to be that kind of father. I mean, he was ready. In fact, he was waiting for the question he was about to get from his son one day when he came home from elementary school. He had waited with anticipation for this kind of question because he was going to prove that he was going to be the kind of father that his father was never to him when it came to asking questions. So a little boy came home, walked into the kitchen. His father was standing there and he said, Dad, where did I come from? Well, you would have thought this father, he backed up. He was ready to answer. He went into the longest answer you could imagine, describing every birth pain of childbirth, how you got pregnant, how the baby grew, and how it came to the point where the went to the hospital and the baby was delivered. He went through everything except for showing pictures. And he was just explaining and explaining and explaining. And he got to the end and he said, so son, do you have any questions? Well, the little boy was a little glassy-eyed. And his jaw was sort of hanging open. And he said, well, Dad, the teacher talked to us about where we came from today. And my friend Johnny across the room said that he came from Texarkana. You don't have to have all the answers. You know, you don't have to have all the answers, but you know what you need to have? You need to know where to help your child, whether they're adults or teenagers or children. You have to know where they can find the answer and who they can find the answer from, and that is God and His Word. A godly father leans on the Word of God. In fact, James 1:8, James says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given him. It is God's Word where we come to, and God's Word has a way, Paul said to Timothy, has a way to correct us and rebuke us and to train us in righteousness and to make us complete and equipped for every good work. God wants us to ask Him for wisdom in fatherhood. He also wants us to be vessels to teach our children where to go when they need wisdom. Another important characteristic of being a godly father is a godly dad prays for his children. Too many times we look at prayer as being the last resort when everything else has been tried and when Everything else is, we've come to the end of ourselves, and I guess we'll just have to pray. Sometimes that's our attitude. But what I'm talking about here is that a godly father will make praying for his children a priority. I don't know about some of you, but I always wanted to sort of control what my kids did. And I worried about what my kids might do. But they were all perfectly perfect. I just wanted to get that in because one of them is living at my house right now. But, you know, I realized real fast that I could control everything they did when I was not with them. And I couldn't afford to worry about every time they were out of my sight. But I could pray. I could pray. Praying for your children releases those burdens sometimes that come when we want to control every move that they make and when we want to make sure they make no mistakes. The best way to do that, to conquer those fears, is through prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or arguments. Pray for God's will to be done in your children's lives. Give thanks for what He is already doing and how He will bring to completion the good work He has planned for each child in your home. A godly dad not only prays for his children, but he leads by example. I like Proverbs 23:6. It was shared this morning in our scripture reading. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. You get what the proverb writer is saying? Listen, first of all, here's the first step. Give God your heart. Tell him, you own me. All my affections, all my desires, everything I'm looking for in life, everything that is in my heart, I give to God. And you know, when we say that, when we give everything in our hearts to God, that gives God permission to throw some things out and bring some things in. But the proverb writer said, let your eyes observe my ways. He was saying, look, God is saying to us, look at me, observe my ways, understand that's how we learn to live life, is by following the example of God and following the example of those who have given their hearts to God, those who are wanting to live holy lifestyles. Give your heart to God and let your eyes observe His ways. We have heard that do as I say, not as I do. Actions speak louder than words. So which is it? Is it words or actions? It's both. How you live is proof of who you put your faith in. Kids watch us as parents, as fathers. They especially watch us in times of stress and in times of joy. I believe that we teach more to our children in how we react to stress and how we react to the joyful times than at any other time in their lives. Think about the moments of joy and stress in your life. Act in accordance with what you want your children to see. When frustrated, pray. When joyful, praise. There will be times of frustration and joy. And when you want, and there'll be times that it'll be hard to praise God. But understand that you're an example of how to handle the stressful times and the joyful times. However, as soon as the Spirit leads you, turn to God. Your children will notice how you deal with these things. They will learn where to turn to in times of stress and who to praise in times of joy. You know, this is a lesson. This is something that is true of us. The whole span of our fatherhood, the whole span of our children, they are constantly going to be looking at us. How do you deal with the stress. How do you deal with the stress of a lost job? How do you deal with the stress of sickness in your life? How do you deal with the stress of disappointment? And especially in older ages, like a lot of us this morning, our children are looking at us and saying, how are you going to deal with your life changing? How are you going to deal with losing your driver's license? How are you going to deal with not being able to get around as well as you used to get around? How are you going to deal with those diagnoses from the doctor that seem to threaten your very life? Our children are going to learn from us in the way we deal with those kind of stress situations. They're going to learn from us how we depend on God. You see, we never get through being an example to our children in any aspect of our life, no matter as long as we live. We are going to be example to them of something that one day may be true of them. A godly dad not only is an example in everything, but a godly dad also seizes on teachable moments. Really, being an example on one hand and teaching in those teachable moments on the other are partners. Because sometimes we teach by being the example. Sometimes things happen in our lives, and it helps us to understand some of those things that are happening, and it gives us the opportunity to be able to teach our children about why those things happened and when those things happen and how we should respond to those things. If your child is going through a difficult situation, then it is time to teach them. But not only teach them, but to shepherd them. Ask what God's Word says about the matter when it comes up. I don't know about you, but a lot of times my first reaction when someone in my family or daughter or son is having a problem, first thing I want to do is give him some good golden rules. Every rule at my house is a golden rule. And a lot of times I realize what I'm giving them is really nothing compared to what God's Word can give them. What I'm trying to give them is nothing compared to what God might be saying about the situation. And sometimes what we need to do with our children, whether they're adults or wherever they are in life, is just to say to them, I know this is a hard time in your life, and I know this is really concerning you, but let's pray that God will show us what He's trying to say in this. Let's look at God's Word and see what He's saying. A godly dad will seize those kinds of teachable moments. A godly dad will look for every opportunity to share the gospel with his child and lead them to trust Jesus for their salvation. Listen, you can provide everything in the world for your child. You can give them a nice home. You can give them a car when they get to be 16 or 17 or whenever they teach people to drive here. You can see that they learn the different aspects of every sport possible. You can send them to all the best camps that you can send them to. You can give them cable and all the games on the internet, and you can give them everything they want, but if you don't give them Jesus, you have failed. The enemy will want us to find our identity in every place else except for God, except for Jesus Christ. Encourage your children as a godly dad that whatever their activities, accomplishments, encourage them to always look to Jesus and to trust Him in what they need. We need to make sure that our children understand that God wants them to be salt and light and do everything we can to help show them how they can be that. We need to understand that our children understand that the most important thing you can do is not only to trust Jesus as Savior, but to seek His kingdom first and look to Jesus in everything and trust Him in everything. One of the greatest gifts we can hand to our children is not a trust fund, but the understanding of what to trust in, and that's Jesus Christ. A godly dad tells his children and makes sure his children understand what is the ultimate authority. What is the ultimate authority in your home? Sometimes it's whatever mama says. Let's be honest. I'm just glad we have some godly women that say the right things. Ultimate authority in the home has to be God. That ultimate authority helps us to know how we're to act. And we're always to act in accordance with who we belong to, because who we belong to is who has the ultimate authority. Knowing God's authority places His opinions and His words above all else. Your role as a parent is to be used of God, and God is the one with the ultimate authority. They will see God as a loving Father, Savior, and Counselor if that is what you show them. Understanding God's authority means they will trust and whatever God says to them. Sometimes our children get to the age where they start asking their own questions. I always found it more helpful as a parent if they would just ask the questions I told them to ask. That was a whole lot easier. But it's those questions where they start, you know that, okay, now they're starting to ask, well, why should I trust God? And why would God do this or that? Or why didn't God just do this instead of that? And those are a little bit harder questions. And sometimes we may not have the answers that we want to have, but there's one thing we do need to always make sure our children understand, and even in the midst of all the questions, even in the midst of all the searching for understanding, we need to make sure that we drill into their hearts that God is the ultimate authority. His word is the ultimate authority. And though we may have a lot of things that we question, and though we don't understand everything, we can trust God because He is the ultimate authority. Listen, as a godly father, I feel like it's important this morning that we understand that Satan is our main adversary. Satan will tell you, oh, you're not much of a dad. Look at all the mistakes you've made. And sometimes we not only suffer from Satan condemning us, but also us coming to the point where we condemn ourselves. Well, we need to understand that sometimes it's in the mistakes of life that God teaches us the greatest lessons, and sometimes it's in the broken places of life that we become the strongest, because we understand that what we need more than anything else is to depend upon God for His strength, and they become opportunities to grow. Satan comes and says, you flubbed it, so you're done. God comes and says, you know, you flubbed it, but let me show you how to do better. Let me lead you into doing better. Let me make you stronger. So if Satan this morning is whispering in your ear, sometimes he shouts in our ears and he's saying, man, you've blown it. There's no hope for you. I hope you understand that God and His Word is saying there's always hope. There's always a second chance. I can make you the person that I want you to be if you'll just let me. Satan will tell you to never ask for help. We as men don't like to ask for help. In fact, I changed the CPS voice on my GPS to a man's voice. Because I thought maybe I'd listen to a man's voice, but that didn't help either. We don't like to ask for help. And we don't like to listen for help. But fatherhood is a journey. We need to ask directions. We ask directions as we pray. We're going to be accountable for where we're going. Fatherhood is not meant to be done alone. We have to have help. I am so grateful for men and fathers in this church that I've learned so much just from listening to them talk about their children, their family, and how they've lived life. The ideas and the way that has helped me become a better father. We need to listen to each other. We need to ask for directions. And above everything else, Satan will do everything he can to keep you off your knees and out of your prayer room. God wants you to talk with him about what's going on in your life. Pray for God to establish the work of your hands. There are times when we come into God's presence and we say, God, I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to be the kind of influence on my child that I need to be. I don't really know what I'm doing. But God, give me the knowledge, give me the wisdom that I need, and establish the work of my hands as I love my children to you. As fathers, we'll be formed and shaped over time. Our roles will change, and God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he expects us to follow him. And isn't that the rub? Isn't that the rub? Because we know that really most of our problems isn't caused by us being imperfect. A lot of times it's caused by us not doing the things that we know we should. And sometimes it's caused by just complete disobedience. And they can only be remedied not by just going to God and saying, God, I blew it, but going to God in a spirit of repentance and say, remake me as a father, remake me as a follower of you. Help me to get back in alignment with you and walk with you. And oh, Father, help me. Help me to help my children get over my acts of stupidity. And maybe Lydia could give you a testimony about how I've overcome some stupidity, couldn't you? God wants us to be good fathers. It's no accident that God took upon himself the title of father. It wasn't because he was just some white man celebrating his supremacy. It was a God saying, look, I want you to know how to truly be a father that can change people's lives. Let's pray. Father, today I pray that you would help us as fathers to be willing to make commitments that would help us to be godly fathers, to be godly dads. And Father, if there's a father here that is struggling in their own life, in their own walk, I pray that you will speak to them, and Father, that they will find encouragement, that they will find direction in you. So Father, right now as we prepare to sing, there's someone here who needs to make some kind of decision, whether it be here at the front with the pastor or after the service talking with the pastor. I pray that you would just work in their life right now. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.